Hi, hello. It's John Young from the Heritage Group, and I'm sitting here with Jenny Bunch and Mary Tennant at number 66 Carmarthen Street, and the date is March the 1st, 2009, and I'm here to record Jenny and Mary's memories of when they were younger. Okay, so I'll just get started, and just get open it up. As I said earlier, I've been asking people from Stonehouse what their earliest memories of Stonehouse are. Maybe somebody would like to start.
Well, I remember my earliest memory of going to school. I remember somebody taking me up to school. It wasn't my parents. I think it was Sadie Mayer, actually. Uh-huh. And whenever I turned the corner at down Head Street, I said, oh my, what a long road I have to go down, because there was a wee white cottage just at the Bog Hall Lane. Uh-huh. And it was a ragman that had it, and I thought, oh gosh, I've all that road to down there, and I'd already walked from the school, this is going to take ages, and then I have to go at the foot of New Street. I thought I would never get there. I did. But that's my first memory of going to school.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it's Townhead you went to then,
yes,
to begin
Townhead
with?
Street, uh-huh. Uh-huh. The infant mistress, I could say she was quite a terror as far as the children were concerned.
Do you remember her name?
Miss Wilson.
Miss Wilson.
Miss Wilson. She had a nickname, I'll not tell you what it was, even from the wee tots. But she would shake the children, uh-huh, if they weren't doing exactly what she expected them to do. And I think there was four classes there, because there was definitely three, but there might have been four. And Miss Craig was the top class of that sort of junior section. Mm-hmm. And after that, you went down to Carmarthen Street, where there was six different classes. And then that was for 3 years study. And then when you come back up to the Townhead Street again, I think you had you would have three before you went into the qualifying. And following that, there was an advanced division, which was a very good, uh-huh, very good section. And they also used what's now the Masonic Centre. Right. The boys had woodwork there, and the girls had cookery. Uh-huh. You could dressmaker and everything, you know.
Fantastic.
That's sort of through the Stonehouse School.
Right.
Very, very good education.
Uh-huh.
We had one teacher, a relation of Miss Leishman, and I didn't learn that until comparatively recently. And we called her the grammar tune, but it stuck to us. We remember a lot that she told us.
Not but yourself.
Well, I did the same course. Miss Wilson terrorised us, absolutely terrorised us. She was the wrong person to be in the charge of the first
That's right,
class.
The goodness, uh-huh.
And then there's a nice person, Miss Semple, and she taught us a wee song about crossing the road. The road safety, even
right,
although the roads, uh-huh, weren't busy at that time, it was when you cross the road by the day or night, beware of the dangers that loom in sight. Uh-huh. Look to the left and look to the right, and you'll never, never be run over. Uh-huh. And she taught us that.
Uh-huh.
That made you think about it, because at that time there was only pavements on the one side of the road, the other
right
side it was hedges, and any time you had to go to the left hand side going out of Stonehouse,
uh-huh,
you got warned to stay well in to
right
the hedges,
uh-huh,
because the traffic was coming down quite closely. But school, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Craig was a good teacher as well. She was a
mm-hmm
local lady, and she was quite strict as well, but a very good teacher.
Uh-huh.
But we were lucky with the standard of teaching. Miss McIntosh was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first teacher you got when you went to Carmarthen
right
Street, and she interested us all in reading.
Right, and was she a relation of Mr. McIntosh,
yes,
who was also
I think
at school?
Her father had been the dominie or something.
Right,
yes,
right. Uh-huh.
And she was quite an elderly person, beautiful speaker.
Uh-huh.
And every Friday, once you got a test every week,
uh-huh,
which was good for you,
right,
because you were used to tests then. And it also let her know whether you'd cottoned on to what she said, because there were maybe 35, 40 in a
right
class.
Uh-huh.
And they would need to go home at night and correct the work that
mm-hmm
we had done for the test. But once that was over, you got a lovely story,
right,
or poetry or something like that,
uh-huh,
that you could relax on the Friday afternoon.
Right.
But she got us really interested in reading,
uh-huh,
and a wonderful teacher. Then the war came, and We never had any men teachers further down. It was all
ladies.
And we got a Miss Harvey from Lesmahago, and she kept moving up with us because it was a shortage of teachers. So instead of having her for 6 months, we had her for 2 years. That was here. And it was quite clever of her because she got to advance her education, you know, to suit the next group. Although it was the same class, she was giving us higher subjects each time. And Miss Allen was a great teacher.
She was an elocutionist. That's right.
She was lovely. She had blonde hair.
That's right. Once your work was finished, you were quite anxious to get on with it so that you would hear some of her poems and stories. She was really good. And Miss Russell, when I went to Confession Street at first, I was terrified. I used to say, oh, I hope that teacher's left before I reach her class.
Right. So was Carmarthen Street for the older children then, was it?
Yeah, she'd be between, say, 8 to 10.
Right.
Well, it took in the 6 classes, But Miss Russell was really great. But whenever you opened the door, you could hear the roars of her. And I think that was how I was scared of her. But she was a good teacher, you know, just her ways.
Still use the Loch Gelly in those days?
We really got a good education.
Oh, yes.
And Miss the Leishman, the grammar was excellent. And she taught us to use a dictionary properly. To read certain passages and any words we didn't know, we'd to look it up and mark it down and see what the meaning was. And the grammar, she just thumped into it. And it sticks. Because when you see some folks' grammar just now, you're appalled. Even educated folk, you know, they're at university and they can't put two words together in a proper sentence. And now who else was good? Oh, the advanced division was excellent. There was a new thing between Mary being at school and me being at school in the advanced division. You got the opportunity to go to Hamilton Academy. It was what they called a free place exam. And they took in the whole of Lanarkshire. And everybody went to the academy one Saturday morning. I think it was in June. And the first 15 got a free place at Hamilton, which was good. Books, you didn't get jotters, but you got your books and your education, because it was a fee-paying school. And I was lucky enough to get a free place.
Sixth place out the lot, John.
16 to 40, it depended on your father's income, whether you were allowed a place or not. But the first 15, it didn't matter. So we met folk from all over the county. It was a wonderful experience.
I can remember Kit Small telling me that she managed to get into
Well, we didn't know anything about it. And it was Mr. Leggett.
My time, John.
The headmaster stopped my mother one day and said, would he mind if I sat the free place exam? And my mother said, Jenny, Mary, but it was over by that time. Mary had missed out on it, and during the war, you see, you didn't get a prize if you were if you had won a prize in the class. There were no books, so you didn't get a prize. So my mother didn't realise whether I was good by then. That she didn't realise that I was. I might have got one, you know. However, she said, "Oh, I give her the chance." So I was at Hamilton for 5 years. It was a good experience. Plus, you met a lot of folk. I think they've spoiled it now because it's limited to Hamilton only. Well, when it was Lanarkshire, you met folk from all over. I'm still meeting folk. Lark Hall, Bealiston. That girl married Jim McCrae. She was in my class at school. And you just got to know an awful lot
so
more
far travelled. So what was... kind of games did you play then when you were at, what kind of games did you play when you were at school then?
When you were younger? The wet season, it was always skipping ropes around your neck. What did we play? Well, rounders, a lot of rounders, and well, races. And sometimes they had, well, the Rex Cinema was there at that time, and we would maybe have, you would give initials to guess the names of the film stars, that sort of thing, you know. What else?
Beds.
Beds. Peaver. We called it beds. The aeroplane type, you know, the big circle, and then the one, two, three, and jump about, you know. That was the main thing. You'd play them at the school and also in the pavements at home, you know, just any bit you could do it.
and ball bouncing against the wall. You go up to six. One, two, three.
And what was that thing? What did they call it? Where the ball was actually attached with a piece of elastic, and you could do things with it. It was quite good to control it, John. You know.
Like a high-low thing,
high-low ball. I think that's what they called it. You never lost. You never really lost the ball. I wasn't what you say a sporty person. I couldn't really jump over anything. It was solid, for instance. No.
And were you involved in any groups or activities when you were younger? Out with the school.
Started off in the Brownies.
A lot of people know this. See the new grocers that started, John?
Yes.
Well, there was a wee hall in there.
Yes, I remember it as a boy.
Do you remember that, John? Well, that was where we had the meetings to begin with. It wasn't terribly big, mind you, but there's a good cupboard that you could, you know, put all the stuff into. And you made a lot of things, and dressed dolls, and made things out of tin cans, and thread, you know, the reels of thread. Wee engines, for instance, you know, that sort of thing. And cork, you used a lot of corks. And they worked there, they had the sale of work there, raising funds for the present hall.
Right.
I can remember the other scout hall opening. I remember going to the wee one, but I didn't go very often. I didn't go for long, that's what I should say. Bunty Dunn was the...
That's right, the pack leader. Right. And Jenny Baird, I think Jenny came from Lark Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Miss Tweedy, she was a brown owl.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was nice being part of that. Normally you'd to be seven, but I went one night when I was five, so they let me go when I was six.
Over anxious.
And then when it was the opening of the Scout Hall, it was really quite something.
Oh, aye.
They had the side doors open, and the Brownies were in charge of a bran tub.
Uh-huh.
That was how they raised the funds. Each group had a different stall to raise funds.
Uh-huh.
And was it £500 or something that hall cost?
The whole hall cost about
£600. Uh-huh.
But somebody gave them a loan. You know, you sort of learn as you get older, John, through the grapevine.
I think it was Mr. Gourley.
It was all paid back, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now it takes far more than that to heat it.
Yes.
Even for the lighting or anything.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And the insurance is high now, because you'll know more about that, Jenny, because it's been mainly a wooden structure.
Right.
You know, it's very expensive. But it was a big day, that. You know, and everybody was turned out to see the official opening of the hall. That's a great thing, you know.
Uh-huh. And I know that when the gala day in its present form, it only started in 1948.
Yes.
What was there before? Do you remember any of the market days?
It was just really school trips, because even at the school, they were really quite ambitious then too, because they took us to the Empire, the opening of the Empire Exhibition,
that was
1958, I think.
Yeah.
And we were at Edinburgh Zoo and Portobello and different places. Uh-huh. That was arranged something. That was another thing, you get in for somebody with Drew in our class, and of course, just in the spur of the moment, and Jenny couldn't go. It was just the sort of top classes, somebody with Drew, so... they asked him if Jenny would like to come now. Oh, yes, somebody could just pay it instantly. So she could go and mind it.
Uh-huh. So that was on the school trip I was at.
That's right.
I shouldn't be there.
Fantastic. So did you travel by train to get to these places?
For the school trips, it was bus.
Oh, the school trip was buses.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because my mother used to say, I know the bus doing Mary's own, because... You know, she's been sick. Never a good traveller.
No, but going to school, it was train we went.
What's your memories of the train station? It's something certainly that probably most people my age...
Most people my age
don't know anything about the train station.
I believe
it closed in 65, so...
Oh, that's right, aye. A very, very tidy, well-kept station, wasn't it, Jane?
Yes, it was lovely.
And a lovely big fire on in the waiting room and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the machines where you could get chocolate and all the rest of it, you know. Uh-huh.
And the posters used to fascinate me. Uh-huh. You know, maybe advertising Scarborough in different uh-huh. places. Uh-huh. And now they are worth a fortune.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I read that, you know, uh-huh. somewhere that if somebody had collected them from way back. And I used to always look at them, they were lovely. Uh-huh. One thing I remember about the train was during the war,
uh-huh.
I don't think anybody, I think all the young men would all get called up. Right. And the ones that were working were just getting older and right. older. We had an old man, I think it was a Mr. McIntosh, mm-hmm, his name, mm-hmm. and he worked forever, sort of thing, uh-huh. at the station. And it was always very, very tidy. There's never any, mm-hmm. no litter lying about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do remember that fascinated me, during the war, there were blinds in all the compartments, every window.
Right.
Had a blind, mm-hmm. and you to make sure that the blind was down. There was right. wee clips in at the side. Uh-huh. You pulled the blinds down and made right, sure yeah. they were in. And the guard came along. I think somebody must have checked from the other side. And the guard came along the platform side to make sure that all the blinds were down.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But everybody just got older and older and older. And it was the same with the guard. The guard in the school train, he was a really old man as well. We all called him Grandpa because he was so old. They and just kept working.
Right. So was this because people were going off to war and other people were doing the duties?
Uh-huh. The women had uh-huh. gone to munitions
right.
or the forces.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of land army girls were about here because right. of the farms. And it meant that people just kept doing their job during uh-huh. the war because there was nobody uh-huh. to replace them. But we went to a farm every harvest time. Mm-hmm. My father helped up at a chapel farm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. we were friendly with them. Mm-hmm. So we would.
Is that the Hannies still then?
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's uh-huh. Miller then. It was
Miller
then. Uh-huh. The grandparents.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And each year we had either a week or a fortnight's holidays up uh-huh. there. We walked down to school
right.
from the chapel farm uh-huh. and got the Girdwoods down because they walked
right.
down from the cottage. And anybody else that happened to be there, but
right.
my father, he was helping with the harvest.
Aye, uh-huh.
and my mother would be helping in the house, no
mm-hmm.
doubt, because
mm-hmm.
preparing vegetables
right.
and pickling and
uh-huh.
all sorts
uh-huh.
of things, that we just thought it was a holiday.
Uh-huh.
But what I can remember there is there were two prisoners of war helping as well,
right.
and a land army girl.
Uh-huh.
One was a German and one was an Italian.
Right.
What they did at night, I don't know whether they stayed in the farm or not. Whenever
uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We just weren't interested, but whenever it was a meal time, there's a huge table, and
mm-hmm.
there must have been about 14, 15,
oh,
16 of us all round this
right.
table,
uh-huh.
all being fed. So that would
uh-huh.
be the prisoners of war and the harvesters.
Uh-huh. So where were the prisoners of war kept? Were they just working on the farms?
Some were kept in Douglas,
right.
up at Douglas, but I don't know about the two that were in the
right.
farm.
Uh-huh.
Whether they, in fact, one of them, the Italian, stayed on in Stonehouse for years. I don't
uh-huh.
know whether he even went back to Italy or not. He was nice.
Uh-huh.
He liked the children, but the German, he was dour. Do you remember him?
Uh-huh. Can you say
So I know that certainly a lot of the children from Glasgow, I believe from Carntyne area, came out here, were evacuated during the war. Do you remember any of the children from Glasgow?
We knew they were coming on a particular day, and there was a whole contingent met at the station.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Some were going to relatives, John, and others
right.
were maybe taken to the public hall. And some people would have volunteered to take maybe a couple of evacuees
uh-huh.
or to try not to split some families,
right.
you know, that it all got sorted out there, didn't
they? They had their wee bags and their big labels on.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Carrying their personal possessions,
right.
some of the things,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, their parents would come out. We had two. The man was an organist.
They came from Clydebank, or no, they came from Glasgow.
We
didn't take any of the wee evacuees because
no.
when we didn't have room, the houses
uh-huh.
were all small,
yes.
they were all the
uh-huh.
same. A living room, a sort of back living room, and an upstairs bedroom, and that
right.
was the size of the houses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, once the Clydebank blitz and that started, everybody took a family.
Uh-huh.
My mother took her cousin and two children.
That's
so they went up to our bedroom
aye,
and
uh-huh.
we lived downstairs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my great aunt across there, next door to Miss Leishman, they took the other cousin, that was his
right.
lady's sister,
mm-hmm.
and four children.
Mm-hmm.
And the great aunt and uncle lived upstairs and the family lived downstairs.
Uh-huh.
That how they got room and how they managed to cook, uh-huh. you know, for different uh-huh. families, uh-huh. because it wasn't like now where there were spare rooms for everybody.
That's right. Uh-huh.
There seemed to be quite a good spirit during the war, and there was a lot of fundraising.
Everybody yes. pulled together.
Certainly Harry Lauder was a regular right. in the village uh-huh. at the time
that's
as well.
Right. Uh-huh. And doing a lot of knitting, mittens and the mitts and the gloves and scarves and, you know, for the army. Uh-huh. Just kept working away with the khaki rule, wasn't it?
And you to collect waste paper but, oh, by the ton, uh-huh. and take it at first to the scout hall and then to the school.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And on the 2nd of September, the day before war broke out, the, what did you call the soldiers that were in the territorials?
Yes.
They uh-huh. moved into the scout hall. So right. we were farmed out. No aye. More meetings until this, uh-huh. the hall was clear.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember convoys going down. Now, that must have been the British Expeditionary Force, because it was right at the beginning of the war. Right. Convoys going through Stonehouse. And they stopped, you know, they could only go so far.
Uh-huh.
And then they would wait till the next contingent come through. So you adopted whatever lorry was uh-huh. near, and whatever you had in the house, like sweets or chocolates or
uh-huh.
baking, uh-huh. you carried out to that.
Uh-huh.
My mother used to say, these boys are going off to fight. We'll look and see what we've got for them, and we're to go over and hand uh-huh. the things out uh-huh. to them. And everybody did that, you know, they, right. they felt well, they're, uh-huh. they're going to fight for us. And uh-huh. then, of course, they come back from Dunkirk later on.
Uh-huh. 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 And do you remember yes. anything of the troops that were stationed at Cock Castle at all? I believe there was there was Americans or Canadians that were stationed there.
Jenny, but I don't know. They called it the dump.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Aye, there was uh-huh. a munitions dump there.
Uh-huh. Aye, uh-huh. That was uh-huh. I don't really remember anything about that, John.
Uh-huh.
And of course they had the air raid shelters and things.
Yes.
At the cross and that, and you had to learn how to.
Well, we're never in that one.
Mm-hmm. No,
and whereabouts exactly in near the cross?
Right in the centre of the cross.
Right in the centre of the cross.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because the cross was
it was all
big
open.
Vast
uh-huh. The cross was all open at that time, yes. John. Uh-huh. That, right from well, what Spar now, right across to the opposite end was Dr. Murray's.
And yes.
The children had that to walk across. Nothing uh-huh. really. Is, a road. It was an open road down there.
That was where they had the VE party, was at the cross.
That's right.
And
aye.
Somebody had a band up on top of the rain shelter,
right.
who actually
uh-huh.
got used. Uh-huh. And we danced all round about
yeah,
the rain shelter.
So, what was it like, the celebrations? Was the whole village out? Was it?
Sorry?
What was the celebrations like at VA Day?
You just danced.
We just seemed to get to the word that the war
uh-huh.
was stopped, and everybody
uh-huh.
just come out and
uh-huh. went to the
cross
uh-huh.
an instant.
Yeah.
It was Mr. Moffat that organised the band.
Oh, uh-huh,
and he was singing as well.
Was that a pipe band or a silver
no,
band?
Just
silver
accordions
and drums.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And we just all danced round.
Uh-huh.
And on VG night it was held in the football park,
uh-huh.
Loch Park.
Uh-huh.
That was where the party was then. The thing I remember about the war was wondering if it would ever finish.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you thought, because it was pitch dark, the blackout
uh-huh.
was something.
Oh,
yes.
So it was, because the didn't they have any street lights?
No
they,
lights.
They were, of course, that would be the gas ones at that time, wouldn't it be?
Aye, but even so, they weren't lit.
They weren't lit, uh-huh.
It was pitch dark, you were outside,
uh-huh.
everybody had wee torches. I remember going for our gas masks.
Uh-huh.
Went to queue up outside the public
uh-huh.
hall. So
uh-huh.
they were in the public hall and along the corridor and outside and right along the Tron Gate.
Uh-huh.
And I think we got our identity cards then too.
I kind of
the same
that,
day.
Yeah.
We got our ration books up in the wee hall outside the church, the
yes,
register.
In the Melbury.
Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh.
SHSP 69-3.
Uh-huh.
And I was 69-4. And the gas masks were funny because you just got it in a cardboard box. And my mother being my mother, she thought, well, they're not going to stay clean for long. And they're not going to stay together for long because you had to carry them with you at all times.
Right.
So she made wee covers for them.
That's
so this
right.
started fashions. Everybody had different
uh-huh.
things.
Oh, yes.
And then the children at that time got to...
The baby got a Mickey Mouse thing.
Yes, it was
mm-hmm.
a huge thing. And the baby had to go right into this
yes.
Mickey Mouse
uh-huh.
Gas mask. We were more interested in them than we were in our own.
That's right.
But
you felt as if you were getting suffocated because your chin had to get
uh-huh,
first somehow
aye.
And then
uh-huh.
the thing up, you know. But,
and when we were Miss Small's class, we had to read with them on.
Uh-huh. nervous than quite a sight.
It was hilarious. You couldn't hear what the person was saying, and their gas mask was steaming up. And you had to keep one for about half an hour, but then the air flopped.
I had to save eating any sweeties.
But yeah. One thing that we all tried for, if there was a baby in the family, they got dried milk tins, uh-huh. and it was quite a big thing. And uh-huh. this was just the right size for a gas mask, and right. you had no worries about covers getting torn or yeah, boxes right. or anything. Uh-huh. You just banged it in, uh-huh. and that was uh-huh. it. But you had to carry it with you all times.
And then yeah. the rationing, of course, and these coupons, clothing coupons, yes. John. Oh, you had to give coupons for everything you bought.
Uh-huh.
Some of the coats would be hard lined because it took less coupons for them.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you, I think it became very popular because you didn't need to coupons for them clogs.
Clogs, uh-huh. that's right. And what a racket. So we put rubber soles on the right. Your father uh-huh. put rubber soles in the bottom of it. Because going up the stairs in the school, you can imagine
that's
hundreds
right.
of children wooden yeah. on the stone floors.
I suppose people would have to be very resourceful.
Sorry?
I think they would have to be very resourceful.
That's
and
right. uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh. Old people were thriftier, John. Uh-huh. They just had to be. You got the hand-me-downs. Uh-huh. tell John about the guy's uniform.
The brownie uniform.
The brownie uniform.
The brownie uniform. I was quite sorry for two of the girls
uh-huh.
because they had dark brown, a real uh-huh. dark brown, where the rest of us, it was all sand coloured.
Right.
Then I discovered when I grew up that theirs were new. Everybody else had been hand-me-downs. The only two new uniforms in the company, and I was sorry for them.
You talked earlier on, you mentioned the rag and bone man, and I vaguely remember as a young boy, they used to come along, and I was probably quite lucky to see the last of them, yes. And I remember the knife sharpeners coming round the house as well as a young boy. What kind of things do you remember that are maybe not there now?
Well, they brought the milk round to uh-huh.
yes.
thing.
You your jug out to the milk to
aye,
roll it.
Aye, and according to what you're getting, they're measuring the, you know, the can. They're all
right.
different,
uh-huh.
all different size of the cans.
And
so
it always stopped at Mrs. Jack's house, which was next door to us, because she gave it a slice and jam. She gave the horse a slice and jam,
uh-huh.
a piece
mm-hmm.
and jam.
Uh-huh.
So we always knew that we would get the milk there.
Right.
I remember a bear.
So
right.
did I.
Uh-huh.
Aye.
Dancing bear.
Uh-huh.
Was that
aye.
As part of one of the fairs, or was
a Russian man going
aye,
through,
aye.
And he stopped at the bottom of Lockhart, at the start of Lockhart Street,
uh-huh.
the end of New Street, the start of Lockhart
aye,
Street.
I remember that.
And
aye.
We watched it and we were terrified. We didn't realise it was cruelty.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You know, just there's a bear, so
and men big stuff on it to.
We used to dare each other to look in at
uh-huh.
the Hamlin Firm at the side
right.
door because
uh-huh.
it was an enormous big red bear.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And, well, was that in your school days when you went round with the baker, Bob the baker? And you cut out the coupons
uh-huh.
for the bread,
a Saturday
units,
morning.
The BUs or something. Bread,
uh-huh.
bread
the bread rationing went on for quite a while after
uh-huh.
the war.
Yes.
In fact, all rationing went on right to the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And I got asked if I wanted a part-time job on a Saturday morning,
right.
and it was cutting out the bread units,
uh-huh.
they called them,
uh-huh.
and so much for a loaf and so much for buns and things
uh-huh.
like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was wonderful. I was never so rich in my life. I've got 5 shillings
yeah.
for 3 hours' work.
25 cents.
I remember we talked about Willie McCubry's poem, which is fascinating,
uh-huh.
and everybody's got their own memories and favourites,
yes.
favourite shops within the communities. What's some of your favourite shops?
Hassan's.
Oh,
that was the one just before you went to the.
Was that the ironmongers, or was that?
It was everything. It was a toy shop,
uh-huh.
an ironmongers. They sold paraffin, they sold sweets,
uh-huh.
and the sweet selection was absolutely lovely.
Uh-huh.
Halfpence pennies,
uh-huh.
tuppence. And
Thrapp's was about the dearest. They had what they termed the children's trade on,
uh-huh.
and you could look into over the glass counter and see this, and it depended how much you were going to spend,
right.
which
uh-huh.
tray they brought out. You know, that
right.
that's
Mrs.
Big.
Hassan was one of my. I was her elder.
Yes.
She only died a few years ago.
Yes,
she certainly remembers it.
Which one was that, Jenny? No.
She lived in Miller Street.
One of the daughters of the place, Jenny. Yes. They all had their own job. Because the mother was alive at that time.
Yes.
There was Nellie and Lizzie.
She went out with the horse and cart.
Yes, aye.
And there was china cups and things hanging on hooks.
And
they sold everything on the cart from the shop. It was great. Sweets as well. And paraffin.
A good place to go for wedding presents too. They had a lovely display window. And all the patients, you know. Because always said the children were the customers of tomorrow. The children today, you know. The only thing they never stopped was fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Mind that, I think they'd be terrified. Well, it wouldn't be a great big place, although they had a horse as well, hadn't they? That must have been at that back bit,
yes.
the area behind the houses yonder.
And the window, which is blocked up now, was round the side, and that's where you picked what you wanted for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
They had all the toys there.
Aye.
But we were very lucky here when we were young, because the cinema opened when, about 1936?
January 37.
The
coronation
year, John.
So... we went every Saturday afternoon to the matinee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was something to do, you know, because that was guides and brownies and things through the week.
That's right.
Sunday it was church the whole day.
Oh, the whole day, John, at the church. I've no idea. What was the first thing, Jenny?
Bible class.
We were in the choir for a wee while. I think they're looking for people to fill the seats. And then Miss Miller from Hill Road, she took the Bible class.
Uh-huh.
I've got a hymn book yet, because I used to play for them, 1945, Christmas 1945.
Right.
You were in the Bible class, went to Sunday school till you were 14,
uh-huh.
and never missed a, you wouldn't miss a thing, you know. Then between 15 and 18, that was the Bible class,
uh-huh.
and then you joined the church then, and then you helped with the Sunday school, and if there was a... We were at morning service.
Uh-huh.
We were really trapped from first thing in the morning, John, right through to after the morning service, and then the Sunday school, and sometimes a teacher's meeting,
right.
maybe arranging for an outing or a party
right.
or something.
Uh-huh.
We were waiting for ages.
Uh-huh.
And in the afternoon during the war, we used to listen to all the national anthems.
Oh, aye, that was
we played them every Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Uh-huh.
When was Lord Ho Ho on? Was that a Sunday afternoon as well?
I think that was it. So Lord Ho Ho. What was it called? The
James Joyce,
German
an
calling.
Irish.
Yes.
Germany calling.
Germany, oh dear, dear. Aye. But we knew all the tunes for the national anthems, John. It's good, you know.
That's fascinating.
Doing all the hump off Quarry Street and all this
yes.
sort of thing. Oh dear, have we heard of that?
And do you remember, and it's maybe just a wee, you would be very young at the time, do you remember the Hill Road School at all? I believe that went up in fire
yes.
about 36.
Oh, I was terrified
uh-huh.
of that. Now that would have been about the time the houses were being built down there.
Yes.
Because, see if I, after it was all passed, I would go up Queen Street, and there was no roof on it at that time,
mm-hmm.
John. And I had to turn round. When I got to the end of the, just a wee bit past the pub yonder, I'd got to turn round and look at that, and
uh-huh.
it scared the modern uh-huh. daylights
uh-huh.
out of me, and then I would beetle up to whatever was
uh-huh.
on up in the church. But they said that it had all stopped, the fire under control, and then it kindled up again.
Uh-huh.
They were determined that
to get new houses
down there. So the story went
right.
on, and
uh-huh.
we were children. And
so what was it used as in its last years? Was somebody staying there, or was it... Or was it
oh,
used for any purpose?
There were families. There were
mm-hmm.
six. It was quite a big place.
Uh-huh.
Would there be six or seven families then? Oh, it was all houses.
Right.
It was all houses,
uh-huh.
John.
Uh-huh.
But that's what happened to it. Then, of course, they would get to... they would build the bungalows after
uh-huh.
that.
Yes.
But, oh, I was scared of that. Just the outline of the property.
Uh-huh.
You'll gather about being kind of nervous.
It certainly looked quite an impressive building when it was in its early years.
It would be, John.
Uh-huh.
It was big. It was,
yes.
it was big.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I remember the Clydebank Blitz.
Aye.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
We had a cupboard under the stair, and my mother had
uh-huh.
it organised. It was an old-fashioned kist, you know,
uh-huh.
and she had it made into a bed because somebody
right.
had told her that was the strongest bit in the house.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all in it that night.
Mm-hmm.
We could hear the bangs, and she had some raisins and chocolate and things stored away in case we got stuck in it. She always preparing things. And at school, we used to get to lessons on what to do with potatoes, because one thing you could get was loads of potatoes and herring. So they taught us all the different things to make with potatoes and herring in case we were ever stuck for food. And another thing I remember during the war, the Russian miners sent the Scottish miners tins of food. It was like a half biscuit tin, sort of army looking, all grey, and it was hard to get into them because you had to get the old tin opener around the centre, and there were biscuits and probably tea and sugar. I can't remember really. What we were interested in was the chocolate. You always got a piece of chocolate in it. I always remember that. We got that two or three times. That was fantastic. They must have given them out at the Canderside Colliery, Canderig Colliery. And my father brought them home.
And you used to have classes for the the women at night. There's that cat. They used to have the classes for the women at night. Giving them, teaching them different methods of eking out food and making the most of it. Have you ever heard of the dried eggs?
Doesn't sound very appetising.
You could sole your boots with them. It was powdered egg, John. But I remember going round once. It was from the school. Agnes Tate and I went in it because we had to look out the things from the cookery room, and teaching them how to use cereals in different ways, anything that wasn't rationed, because you only got so much of each necessary item, I suppose, and this was to help out with the cooking to give them more nourishment.
I suppose it must have been a wee bit better for people here in that we lived in a farming community, and there was maybe a wee bit more to go around than maybe some of the towns.
I remember it was my parents' silver wedding in 1944, and it was the biggest feast that anybody had seen for years, because everybody brought food of some kind. One farmer who was coming, he was a guest, is sent a tongue.
A tongue, that's right.
And my mother cooked it. One of the boys come back from the forces with a naffy bun, and although the currants and raisins were few and far between, it was something we'd never had for years. And everybody gave, and some of my mother's friends, they laid out a buffet, and everybody came in and went,
that's right.
It was in the welfare.
Old Mr. Crowe's wife, you know, the minister's wife, asked my mother how she was able to supply the things, and it's just with one another helping John for the celebration.
Did you ever hear the sirens?
As a boy at Larkhall Academy, they still played the sirens. Obviously not in relation to the Second World War, but they played them during the Cold War. When I was younger, they still tested out the sirens.
Yes. It used to be on top of the Institute. We call it the welfare.
And the police station. There was one at the police station.
And then when the all cleared went, sometimes they'd a dummy run, you know, so that the thing we missed was the church bells. Because all the church bells used to ring, and of course that was a sign for an invasion, so they just stopped. We were frightened to hear them.
And the first time we did hear them officially, it was lovely. It was a parade.
It must be quite a frightening time, because there'll be propaganda both in the German side and in the British side at that time, so you'd be hearing different stories and not sure if they were true or not, of course. I think we're probably quite lucky we didn't have to use the gas masks
in the end.
So what about after the war then, when things had settled down and the men returned from the war? What were the issues then? What kind of employment was there for the men to come back to, and the women for that matter?
I'm trying to think when I started.
Because the mines, I think, would be a point where they were.
What they used to do during the war too, John, they organised concerts, and this was for some of the soldiers coming home and giving them a present. Maybe ones that had been a prisoner of war or something like that, you know.
and they raise funds. There's quite a few hits concerts and the rakes and
there's
mainly
a Sunday night too, wasn't there?
I mean, everybody went. Just went because it was for the war effort.
And is that where you got your information about the war? Was it at Direct Cinema, the newsreels? Or?
Well, they used to get the Pathy Gazette news, and if we saw Hitler, we booed.
In the March of Time, remember? We used to hate when that came on, the March of Time, and it was always very interesting.
They didn't tell you everything about the war. You found out quite a lot of things later on. Some of the ships that had lost thousands of men and things like that. You didn't hear about that. And when you got letters from the soldiers, there was one chap that wrote to us because he was a family friend. As much of it was blocked out. When you were reading so much, and then there'd be a bit
a censorship.
Maybe if he'd said where he was or where he was going or something, it was blocked out. That they must have censored every letter that went.
I remember doing one for a lady who worked beside her brother was in the war, and she was only allowed to say, it was about 20 words, John, that was all. That was all that they were allowed. No information, as much as hope you're well or something like that.
And there'd be quite a few men at Stonehouse Hospital as well. I do know that Helen, her dad was at hospital had an injury.
Because they had the military corridor up there, John.
Yes.
That was the 7 to 14.
Right.
Prior to that, they had the three pavilions and then wards 1 to 6. But that other bit was built during the war. And they called it the military corridor.
Right. Fantastic.
I remember the church was quite an interesting place just after the war because they didn't all get demobbed. They didn't make the same mistake as they did in the First World War. They didn't demob everybody at once.
Yes.
So there was a lot of unemployment. They demobbed them in groups. And one would come home and bring his fiancée and one would come home and bring a new wife or something like that. The choir was great. It just doubled over maybe about a year. And it was so nice to meet all the new folk that came to Stonehouse at that time. And that was when they needed to build more houses. But one thing that fascinated me was the shortage of houses everywhere, and they built prefabs. Prefabs were out of this world. They were supposed to be for 10 years, and they were small, they were compact, they were like bungalows, and every spare inch was a cupboard. We'd never seen so many cupboards in our life. And the living room was a reasonable size, and maybe a couple of bedrooms, and the kitchen and the bathroom. They were absolutely gorgeous. In fact, there are still some down in Morecambe. They brick them up outside to make them instead of the wee prefab thing, they just look like wee bungalows.
Well, in fact, there was up until 10 years ago, I don't know if you're aware, but out at Gill Farm, the prefabs were still there up until 10 years ago. They've only recently been taken down. So they've obviously, they've done very, in fact, you could even say that Stonehouse Hospital, some parts of it were only built for the warriors and were only taken down a few years ago.
And then, of course, during the war, John, they removed all the metal. There was no gates and railings and things like that, you know.
Yes.
You know that.
You can see that in Hill Road. So what, of your early years in Stonehouse, is there any places in Stonehouse that you remember which are no longer there?
Apart
from the cinema, which is still there but not used.
Well, that Condon Street School, for instance, it's a major, and there's much far more than that because they've been building everywhere. Everybody had to dig for victory during the war. Every wee plot, even behind the Scout Hall, growing drills the potatoes.
Gardens.
Nothing got wasted everybody went to jumble sales, and if you picked up a coat, which you wouldn't normally have done, and you turned it, you took it to a dressmaker, and they turned it, maybe an adult coat got made into it.
A child's
Yes, but nothing, absolutely nothing got wasted.
Fantastic. You've told me quite a lot about your memories and your younger life, and it's been fascinating just listening to them. In every village, like Stonehouse, it's got its good points and its bad points. And I think Stonehouse has been very fortunate through the year. We're having so many activities and events going on, and we've been very fortunate through the years. What are your favourite memories of Stonehouse when you were younger?
Public park.
Pardon? The public park.
Because we went there every day in the summertime.
Right.
It was lovely.
All the troops that came there, John. And of course, with a park ranger, you know, in the house at the top. And you just never put the foot wrong. But we're trained anyway not to do that, John.
I've seen some of the old photographs. It certainly looked beautiful.
Always warned never to go near the water. There was holes in the Avon.
Did you ever go swimming in the Avon?
I'll never swim, John. I'm too late now, but I was always terrified of the water. We got all the gear. Well, we always managed our holidays. Supposing we went through to Ayr, because I was never a good traveller at any time. At first, it would be, see, the miners, did they get paid for their holiday, Jenny, or no? I don't know whether they would or not. But anyway, we always had at least a week at Ayr every summer. And went to a house in Academy Street, and it was what you called with attendance. The lady made all the food for you. And her, one of the daughters worked in the cooperative there, and she had all the stuff in for us, you know. And it was really great, wasn't it, Jenny?
So I suppose there must have been a lot of people that came to Stonehouse for the holidays as well.
That's right. Usually to stay with relatives, John, because there's never really been hotels or boarding houses to be a place.
Certainly, the last one I remember would be the Black Bull Hotel when it was still a hotel. But my father stayed there for a short period when he came out of hospital. I don't think there's been that many places with accommodation that you could rent. So what other things do you like about the park?
There were three wee shops in New Street just across from my mother's, Jenny Gray's, the Chapley Underleaf, and the Cunninghams. And they were awful handy. But again, it depended during the war when it was rationed. We used to get my granny's, my grandpa's, my father's. My mother liked her sweets, but we sometimes get hers as well. We were really quite fortunate. Some of our friends didn't eat sweets. We always seemed to have as many as we wanted.
I certainly remember when I was younger, we went to the public park. We used to stop at Connell's. Just in, I think it's Argyle Street,
A long time ago, there was a lady who used to do candy apples and candy pears. Now, that was up where the Chinese place is. You came upstairs, and sometimes you went up and it wasn't ready. You had to come back in half an hour. But that was just to make money, you know. She'd be a poor old soul. It was an old granny who did it.
That's right.
Tell them to come back, and the word wouldn't ring. But Mary, it was quite funny when she was in Glasgow, because they used to, was it Lewis's or was it Woolworths? They just formed a queue and you didn't know what you were going for.
At the sweetie counter, you just knew that they'd got an allocation in, and they were all made up in bags, say, for a shilling or 1 and 6. You never asked what was in them, you just joined a queue. When they were sold out, that was it, you know.
What were you in for? I don't know.
when we were talking about the clothing coupons, John, they used to, some people would sell them. If they were reasonably priced, it was maybe a shilling for one coupon. If they really wanted to be greedy or make some money, they took a half crown for one coupon. I got a special concession when I was married. That was 1952, that things were still in the coupon system then.
Yes.
For my whole wedding rig out, I'd produce the coupons, but because I'd bought everything, I got a pair of nylons, free of coupons. That was a great treat. Just pay for them, but no coupons. So that was really a treat. That was my bonus.
Were you married in Stonehouse then?
I was married in St Ninian's. Mr McGee. The public hall for the reception. The food wouldn't have been rationed then, Jenny, but at least I don't think so.
No,
because there was the purveyors there, and you could get the big cake and everything, but definitely the clothing coupons were on the go at that time, John. That's how I remember that. And photographs. Now, that was another thing.
Yes.
I've only got 8 photographs, I think, apart from ones that maybe friends would take, but official photographs. And that was through Miss Leishman, because she worked in the advertising.
Yes.
It was normally 2 you got, maybe a group. And, the official party and the bride and groom. That was all you were allowed, John. dear, oh, now they've got volumes of them.
A lot of the wedding dresses were made out of the parachutes.
Parachutes.
Someone that was in the Air Force.
Right, the one beside the girl at the hospital, and that was her, what her dress was made from, you know. But most people would wear somebody else's, John, to save the coupons and that line, you know.
That's quite incredible. Well, I think we've talked for quite a while there, and it's been really fantastic listening to you. But I'm just going to end the talk there, and I'll just put this off and just thank you again for your time and your memories of Stonehouse when you were younger. Thanks very much.